irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. How amazing would it be to wake up and think about your day, not your diet? If you want to join me today, and I have a wonderful guest that I'm about to introduce to you, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, and any kind of emotional eating is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. So my guest agrees. So let me ask you something. Are you too busy to relax? In our fast-paced world, it is hard to make time for relaxation and for self-care. And relaxation is so important. I can tell you how many people, there are so many people with high-stress jobs, they end up eating to relax. So they may not realize that's what they're doing, but for many of us, eating is a way of giving ourselves a break. And then we may choose foods that have sort of a sedative effect. So wouldn't it be great to be able to relax and chill out and be healthy without grabbing something from the kitchen? That's why I am so excited to have a guest today who can help us do exactly that. His name is David Becerra. He is a certified trainer and an expert in massage. And he has amazing tips for hacking into the body to bring out its best while you're at home or doing everyday activities. He is also studying early childhood psychology. What a Renaissance guy you are, David.
Thank you.
So he understands the relationship between mental and physical health and applies that to his practice. Now, if you have questions for David, again, give us a call, 818-602-4929. So welcome, David.
Thank you. What an introduction, I must say.
It's all true, right? It's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm glad to be finally meeting you.
It's a pleasure to have you.
You have a contribution of service today. Definitely looking forward to that. So
before the show, we were talking. In fact, we started a little bit late because I was so caught up in what he was saying. And then I realized, wait, we have to hold this for the show. We have to wait for the show.
The gentleman came in and he's like, oh, it's the countdown. I'm like, okay.
Oh, we're like 4 seconds late. Exactly. And we already have a caller. So
great. Bring
okay,
her on
hold
in.
On.
The water's warm.
Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and David.
Hi, Dr. Nina, and hi, guest. This is Nicole. I know that you were just introducing your guest, but I wanted to be the first one to ask a question today.
Awesome. Hi Nicole. So you have a question for David.
Yeah, I have a question for David. So I know Dr. Nina just said you're a massage therapist, and I was wondering, what are the best foods to eat after you get a massage for optimal recovery and just to, like, feel light and just easy on digestion? Do you have any recommendations on best foods after a massage?
Oh yeah, and then also depending on your state prior to a massage, a lot of people will come in, it depends on the reason. Like, you know, I'm really tight, so they're coming in for a massage, and I'm like, you know what?
I can't hear David, by the way.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
What about now?
How about now?
A little bit. I can hear Dr. Nina a lot better.
Okay, let's see if we're going to figure it out here. So.
All right, there might be a little.
It's better already.
It's better? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I would say it really depends on the reason you're coming in for your massage. Usually in a scenario where I have a client where he's coming in and he's like really tight or bound up, I would say, you know, today's a good day for a little pho soup afterwards. Warm, comforting, extra liquid. You know, that's a little trick to get him to drink more water because a lot of my clients sometimes don't drink enough water, and I'm as guilty of that as I try to help them with. But so I would say, like, something like a full meal, the body really requires that afterwards. So, or to keep it simple, anything with color that comes from the earth. I'm like, where did I get my green thing? Where did I get my yellow thing? And that eat some sort of protein of some kind, your choice, whether it's vegan or whether it's animal-based. But the idea is to really feel like you get to have a full meal, you know, like what our parents taught us growing up, you know, having a balanced thing. So that's sort of the approach after a massage and lots of water, obviously. But
so that's what, and I just want to interject that caller, I see someone is trying to call in. Unfortunately, we don't have a way of answering your call and putting you on hold. So please call back after we're done with the call with Nicole.
Yes.
So David, this is why massage therapists always will tell you to drink lots of water and stay hydrated after a massage, which I always wondered why.
Yeah, we were literally squeezing a sponge out of its water, meaning our muscles. So we want to try to rehydrate because like 70% of our muscle tissue is our connective tissue requires water. So just think of it as a band that needs water, so it's more supple. You know what I mean? More supple means less injury, means we can get further along during the reason that you came for your massage. If you're actually looking to fix some things, if you're looking for de-stressing, it's just good to have water anyway because it reminds you to breathe, and there's a whole list of things. But yeah, water's good.
Okay, awesome. So you said a lot of water and
tea is amazing,
including
too.
Protein and then anything with color from the earth, correct?
Yeah, so because that'll usually have digestive enzymes, and then it also having the water. I would even have it as tea,
right?
Maybe some hot tea for digestion.
Any recommendations for the next day? It's actually funny. Last night I had a massage, and I remember to drink a lot of water. But then, anything you should do the day after? Just stay hydrated. Any specific things for recovery? Because sometimes I feel like I don't know. I don't want to feel a little bit bigger the next day after a massage, but I do feel like. I don't know. Sometimes everything just feels like, I don't know, not as tight. I don't want to say floppy, but like just different, a little inflamed, a little like puffed up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So sometimes the body doesn't have a clean way to kind of redistribute the liquid. So sometimes you get a little poofiness. But that sort of with regularity goes away with time. Just water and stretching is what I would recommend. If it's been a while since you've had it, the body's going to really be craving this relaxation and therapy for the muscles. So I would just take an extra day off and just stretch and, you know, do your errands. And your body will thank you for it when you go back to the gym or whatever it is your activities are.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David.
In other words, you haven't gained weight after a massage.
No.
Your body is just reacting to... Your muscles are reacting to what's gone on. So whatever puffiness it is, it's temporary.
Yeah.
Nicole calls all the time. I know her so well. I know where you're going with that.
Thanks for calling, Nicole. Remember, everything is only temporary. You lose a pound, you gain a pound. It's all relative.
Oh, I like his attitude. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Those were great questions, Nicole. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to the relaxing tips now.
Okay, perfect.
Next.
Yeah.
We're about to talk about it. Okay. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. So before that other caller calls, and caller, you were welcome to call back. We were talking about 2 minute. You said you had really great 2 minute tip you could do at home, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to oversell it, but tell us the 2 minute tip.
Well, I'm guilty of this too. Like I tell my clients to stretch, and I rarely find myself stretching. And it's just because it becomes a whole thing. It's like, oh, I have to schedule time for it, and then you know I have enough time to get to the groceries and do this and do that, and I have to cook, and then I have to work out, and I still have to make 30 minutes. I'm like, listen, micro changes at like a big macro evolution. So I feel like if we can come in and just work out the stretch out the major. I tell people the major muscle groups prior to bed. So like it'll be a routine where it's like, I want 1 minute of one leg up stretch for the hamstrings today. And that's your Monday.
That's
one
all.
One minute each, two times. It's 2 minutes. It's actually 4 minutes total, but you're doing 2 minutes per body part.
Okay.
And then you hit the sack.
Okay. So what did you call it? One leg up stretch?
Yeah. So it's like when you prop up your leg to stretch out the hamstring.
Okay. So you can put it on a chair or
on your bed. I do this right before bed. Just go on there and like, oh, I got to do that thing I have to do.
Okay, you know? That thing you have to do, it's not stretching, it's not working out.
Yeah, it's like a thing I just do now. Yeah, and then then you do that on Monday, and then Tuesday we do the pigeon, and then...
Wait, what's the pigeon?
So the pigeon is that they do it in yoga a lot, but it's like you bring your lower leg in front of your chest, basically, so it'll stretch the glute,
Oh, so like a figure four thing?
Exactly.
So you can can't see me.
Yeah.
Okay, Facebook people, you can see me. Like, look.
You come up and you come, well, I can't do it with these.
I'm doing it.
Eyes. Yeah, there we go. We can get you a camera. But yeah, you bring it up.
I'm
and
on
the
that
idea
camera.
Is that, oh yeah, perfect. It stretches out the gluteus maximus, the butt, which is one of our prime movers. So we need to have it have some relaxation. But basically, it's the glute, the hamstrings, and the quad. And then what I tell them is I want 1 minute on the hamstring for Monday. Do your 2 minutes for your quad for Tuesday, it could be. And then for Wednesday, you do 2 minutes for your glute, and then just repeat the cycle. So it's basically, I do this thing before I go to bed, and each day I get to do the different lower body part. You start doing that every week, 4 weeks, a month, a year. I mean, you could start seeing how it, he's like, I just feel better. I'm in a better mood. I don't get injured as much or at all. You recover better from lower body workouts. And then it's sort of like a little ritual you get to control instead of having to use other things to help make us feel better. You could do something that will actually make us better.
Right. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Other things.
Yeah.
And you make a good point, which is that a lot of people think, okay, they have to do a dramatic change. Like, okay, I've got to work out for like an hour minimum. Yeah. And I've got to have my heart rate be at this. And I've got to have sweat like coming down. And, and then, of course, that's daunting. So they don't do it as if it's all or nothing.
It's just very much the American lifestyle. It's just either do it or do not. And which there's something to be said about that. It's great if you're in that state where that's tolerable. But not everybody. We got a lot of things we're juggling. I'd rather have somebody do something than do nothing,
So. Yeah. So all of those 1 minutes, 2 minutes really add up.
Yeah. And then you actually be like, you know what? I've done 2 minutes. I can do five today. I got five. And then it actually encourages you to want to do more because you find out ways to carve it out. You're going to feel so good about it. But naturally, you just start evolving. It doesn't have to be pressed. Like, you want to do it. You make time for it.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start incorporating that because I am guilty of not stretching.
Yeah, me too. So I practice what I preach.
But I'm going to practice what you preach. I'm going to try it tonight.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so I have a question. And again, callers, if you want to talk to David, 818-602-4929. He is here. He is ready to answer your questions. So I have a question.
Yes.
And it is about pressure points. So the other day I had a horrible, and I mean horrible, headache. It was one of those headaches where, like, I took Advil. You know how you're only supposed to take one Advil, and they say if it's really, really bad, you could take two Advil. I took two Advil. Nothing happened. I drank black tea, like lots of caffeine, nothing. And so people were like, oh, you got to try pressure points. Like, do that point between your thumb and your finger.
That's actually a good request.
Is that it? Well, it didn't work.
Of course it didn't.
So all kinds of things. What are the best ways to relieve headaches?
Well, usually there's different reasons for why there are headaches. Let me put this here for a little bit. Some are pressure point related. Some are stress related. It's stress induced. Some actually that I find and ones that I suffer from are lack of breathing. When we're like driving and we're like stressed out, we're like, oh, da, da, and we're not noticing it, but we're just like subliminally like sort of holding in oxygen or not releasing and not having one of those. So another reason, if you notice in a lot of behavior, when we're like finally something got done or you found your child that was missing or your car keys or whatever it is and you get that thing and you get the relief, what do? You go, so we just don't do that until we get to that point. So a lot of it is just not breathing. So
oh
that
my gosh.
Brain's not getting enough oxygen.
Look
so
at this.
Like, yeah.
See this? I forget what it's called. My friend gave this to me. What this is, it's a breathing device. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to breathe in, and then you breathe out through this. Mm-hmm. I actually need a device to remind me to breathe slowly.
Well, it's a good hack. It's a good way to like remember, because like I said, there's a lot of things on our plate. So it's like,
okay,
it just simplifies that.
That's a great way to prevent headaches. But so say I wake up with headaches sometimes, mm-hmm. which tells me now maybe I'm not breathing deeply enough.
Yeah, And then people recommend water. It might be that you're dehydrated. There's a lot of like the body will give you headaches when you have that. So it's, a good way to prevent it. Once you've had it, I would actually see if you can take out some of the light in the room and just get some, maybe get a nap, drink some water, do everything that your body's sort of, it's giving you the headache because it's trying to tell you, we need to be...
But what if you have a very busy day with patients and you got an 11-year-old at home and you got a husband and you got a 170-pound Great Dane? They all need your attention. You can't take a nap. Okay. You're just like, okay, I need to get rid of this headache now.
Okay, but what I've done is that when that situation like that happens, I actually will take deep breathing and it'll hold my breath as I'm doing my things, my errands, and I'll have it right there. We have the most expensive, inexpensive relaxation tools, our nose and our respiratory system. So I go in.
And I'll release it through one nostril
so that I have a lot of resistance coming out of it. And it creates this huge relaxation effect. And then I'll actually, it's a massage therapist thing, but it's this muscle right here along the neck. Sternocleidomastoid, but simple, just me.
Sternocleidomastoid, everyone.
The neck. And you just grasp it right in the medius part.
Okay.
And I'll do the same breathing pattern that I just told you, and I'll release it, and I'll go over here, and I'll do it on both sides of the neck, because we have two sides, right? And usually that'll take care of it. It'll just go away.
Okay, I'm telling you, subtle, I'm doing it as he's saying it, and I actually feel sort of a, not that I had a headache, but I feel like a yoga moment happening.
And then sometimes it's just a matter of just, I need to get by through this day. So I'm just going to do those little neck techniques this David guy was saying, and you know what I mean? Like, I'll just... keep it subsided, keep it under submission. I mean, it'll kind of still be there, but you'll be able to get through the day, you get a night's rest, and then usually, like 80-90% of the times, it's gone by the next day. It's just like you had a really rough day, you know?
And this is so important, because I know that a lot of my patients, a lot of my friends, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners may turn to food to relieve things like headaches or to wake up. I know that lots of people will tell me, like, oh my God, I was so tired, so I ate cookies to wake up. Well, of course, cookies are not going to wake you up, because what you need is to rest. Now, we can't always rest when we need to. Or we have headaches and we think, if I just have sugar, somehow my headache's going to go away. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why we come to believe that, but a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. So, you guys, this is so important to respond to the actual need of your body and to really tune into what is going on. Mm-hmm. And directly address that instead of grabbing something from the kitchen.
I think you said it, the tuning in. That's the caveat right there. It's like being able to get to a place where we want to tune in. You know, I get kind of spiritual in all of my work. I feel like I'm on a spiritual path, even though I'm a trainer and massage therapist. A lot of it is like, how do we want to look at this? How do we want to approach this? You know, because the cookie, let's face it, is comforting. And when I'm stressed out, I'm in pain, I just need to feel good right now. Right. It's like, well, I want to feel good right now. I want to feel good the whole day. You know, it's like these really quick decisions that are very like, it's like a soul work. We're going up against 20, 30, 40 years of, you know, habit that just that makes us feel good. So we got to sort of talk ourselves into, be like, hey, what's going on? What do I really want?
And then nurture ourselves.
Yeah, and that's hard. So like, I try to come at it as gentle as possible, because it's, you know, if you're willing to face it, I think like 60% of it is already done. You know, just now getting to the work of how do we actually not eat the cookie, you know?
Well, and that's what my work is, because a lot of times, you know, people are, they don't know how to respond to what they're feeling, right? When they're told, I know boys a lot are told, oh, you're okay, buddy. Like if their boy is crying, oh, you're okay, buddy. Like, yeah, you're fine. Or a little girl.
Especially guys are socialized to just, we don't have feelings, right?
Man up.
Yeah, exactly.
One guy actually told me, I was being interviewed on his show, John Buchanan's Let's Reverse Obesity. He was like, well, I don't have feelings. I'm a dude. Like, well, dude, yes, you do. You do have feelings.
You blast them out at the gun range, or you just, when you get angry, that's there's a feeling that's trying to get out.
Right, yeah. Right. Or women are like, you know, we don't often learn to relate to ourselves the way we relate to other people. Sometimes people are.
Yeah, this is why alcohol and food has become such a socially acceptable thing to do. Because if I'm have a, you know, a 4x4 in and out, I mean, I might have been gluttonous, but nobody's gonna look down on me as like, you know, not being able to manage emotions. I'm just gonna take it out on whatever food I can take it out on. Right. And then I get to feel better at it. So, I mean, your work is very fascinating to me in that regard.
Or you get mad at yourself for eating whatever double, quarter pounder, whatever, instead of getting mad at something else.
Exactly. Yeah. Diverting attention. Wow. Yeah.
But there's such a mind-body, that's why, you know, there's such a mind-body correlation. And that's why I love that you're doing the work you are doing and also studying child psychology or mm-hmm. development, because it's not, one does not exist without the other. You know, our yeah. minds do not exist without our bodies. Our bodies do not exist, you know, without our minds.
Yeah. Adulthood is so much about dealing with the unfinished business left in childhood.
Amen to that. Yes. Well said.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's hard to face it, but it is. So just be nice to ourselves. Like, oh, I'm doing that thing I do because of that thing I didn't get.
With compassion.
With compassion. Be like, you know what? I'm looking at it. Some people don't even, there's, and it's not their fault. They can't yet.
It's hard to look at what's eating at you. It's a lot easier to focus on food. Exactly. It's a lot easier to be like, oh, I can't believe I ate that, than
know,
to think,
right?
Oh, I can't believe this bothers me because of this past thing, or even this present thing, or this thing in the present that's really about the past.
Yeah.
So, okay, since we're going deep,
let's go deep. Let's do it.
Deep dive. Okay. So I think in one of my books, I talk about this patient I had. And she used to eat until she was full to the point of hurting. But it wasn't so much about turning emotional pain into physical pain as it is for many people. Mm-hmm. What she said one day was that when she got full, she would feel as if her body was hugging her. And, you know, I know how much physical touch is important, and this patient wasn't getting hugs from other people. Mm-hmm. So she gave herself the sensation of having a hug by eating so much that she could feel the food press against her body, or her body press against her stomach, and it mm-hmm. was like a hug. So can we talk about the connection between physical touch and emotional well-being?
Yeah, I mean, in the early stages of school, when I was in massage therapy, I was fortunate enough to be with a bunch of instructors that had really good, they were really good at their different massage disciplines, but a lot of them had that sort of spirit approach. You're like, it would sit us around and like, why are we all here? And then you get the average answer, oh, I want to, you know, make better money or work, or I'm really good at knots or whatever. And he's like, and we unravel the onion and come to the point that we're like, we're all here to heal. Mm.
Heal others and heal yourselves.
Yeah, we're here to heal ourselves so that we can, you know, it's usually the greatest areas that we have the most trouble where is usually the place where we can contribute the most. So hence why we were all there. So we faced that, and that's how class would start. But it got me thinking about, you were saying, the correlation of touch. It's like we crave it from the moment we're out of the womb. And this idea that we, especially men, don't need to feel touched or need to, and it's weak, or the things we put on it, you know what I mean? We all need it. Sometimes it's, I think, what did they say? Communication is like only 30% verbal of what you're actually saying. Everything else is intonation and body mechanics and actual touch and interaction. So we communicate as mammals physically. Yeah, we physically express ourselves. So I feel like completely deny that or go without it. Sometimes it's not on purpose. Sometimes it's just, we're, like I said, wrapped up in the 9-to-5 grind hamster wheel. That we don't really make time for touch, or we don't show up for our partner because we're so busy with this thing and our brain is very one side focused. So it's just another one of those things, like the 2-minute stretch is like, what, I need to do that thingy, and then where's my partner? Let me just give him a hug just because, you know what I mean? So it's a practice, you know. Some weeks you don't do it, other weeks you're like all over each other, or you go get a massage because you just need one.
Right.
And that's okay. I don't have to have an excuse.
Well, so, and sometimes some people don't have someone available to give them a hug. I mean, we live in a world which is so increasingly alienated.
Isolating.
And, yeah, and people have relationships over, you know, online or on apps, or, yeah, you know, they're just like alone in their apartments or houses or wherever, and they don't relate to other people. Other people could be scary.
We're all craving that, though. Even on these date apps or even the social media apps, we're trying to recreate what it was like to not have this technology, like whatever, 50, 60 years ago, when people used to actually talk to each other, go to your neighbor and knock on the door to ask for sugar or whatever it was, when we were forced to sort of interact and get a communal experience. So I feel like just the technology is out of the box. We can't put it in the box. So we can just now make time for like meetups. Let's actually hang out with our friends and let's hug our friends. You know, I hug my guy friends, girlfriends, whatever, and like be there for each other. A little more, just, you know, a little bit goes a long way, and hopefully that can get some momentum. don't know if that answered your question, though.
Yeah, I mean, you make the point of we do need physical touch to grow. The Romanian orphans from, was that the 80s or the 90s? All those Romanian orphans were left in these orphanages, and they did not thrive because they weren't touched, they weren't hugged. Mm-hmm. They were basically given food, and that was it. And so a lot of them failed to thrive. They had reactive attachment disorder.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. You just reminded me, like the light bulb went off. I was watching this documentary, and it was a study with monkeys that they did this with. They had two different channels, two different pathways. One had food and water, mm-hmm. but it was very cold and not warm, and there was no carpet and no fleece. And then the other one had comfort, warmth, and like a simulating basically like a hug, but no food or water.
Yeah.
8 or I think it was 9 out of 10 times the monkey would rather die without food and water and would always go to the side where there was the comfort than to want to go where he was going to for sure survive.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that says a lot. And this is at the most basic primal level that we really crave. Besides such that underneath that is like, we really want, not to sound hokey, but.
Sound love. Hokey.
Love. We yes. all need, love is like the champion, I think, in all regards. You know, it's part of how we reduce our problems. It's how we feel connected.
And isn't it sad that that you have to sort of do a disclaimer of not to feel hokey mm-hmm. about
because it's become not sexy to now not talk about it. Because I mean, it's self-love. I love it. But I feel like we have to get around the idea of just honoring the fact that love is important. And then not necessarily romantic love, but just love in all its forms. You know, the form that it comes in, the one that your mother calls you. You got to do that thing. You know, oh, remember, she's loving me right now. Or, you know, I have to go do that thing I have to do for myself that's loving me right now. And it doesn't always feel comfortable. It doesn't feel like the cookie.
And the cookie, by the way, represents our earliest form of love, which is the mm-hmm. bonding relationship that we have when we're infants being fed. Mm-hmm. And so the experience of being held and nurtured and, you know, eyes on the baby sees the eyes of the parent mm-hmm. looking down and sort of sees himself or herself reflected connection that gets fused with the experience of being fed. And so for our psyches, food equals relationship.
Yeah.
We don't think about that way, but we talk about comfort food.
Yeah.
We're talking about wanting to be comforted.
Comforted, exactly. Exactly.
We talk about fulfilling relationships, satisfying relationships. That's how we talk about food.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really fulfilling. It's satisfying.
I think secretly we go for the cookie, but it's because we probably want. If we had a choice and we actually knew where we're all of all our wits, we'd want what we really want, which is the comfort of the connections. You know, when you're laying in your deathbed, you don't go about what you acquired or how many cookie factories you had. You go like, how are my children? How what's my network of people that I helped influence, that I helped? Was I of service? You know, these are the things that you want to take with you that you can rest and you can finally rest.
Yeah.
So I think we all want to go back to that. It's just so many things in between. So today we're going to help people remember that.
Like, yes.
Just drop the cookie and ask, what else can I really want? What does my soul want? Not what does my personality want?
So yeah, what am I really hungry for?
Yeah, yeah. Is that worth searching for? And which the answer is usually yes. And then the cookie becomes less appealing. It's always there. It's always going to be there. Cookies have been around for years, right?
When you give yourself what you really need and you comfort yourself with words instead of cookies or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then you don't feel the call of cookies.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's why so many people come to me and they say, well, they're food addicts or they're they're addicted to whatever. And then when we work through everything, they're able to have a bite of their previously forbidden food, mm-hmm. no problem.
Yeah.
Now,
because it's not a taboo. It's not like a thing over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their brains haven't changed.
Yeah.
Their minds have changed.
Yeah. And you just look at the world differently that way, doing that. This is why I love what I do. Not so much. I'm not one of these trainers that, that's great. I mean, I like pushing myself to the limit and just, you know, type A and go, go, go. And let just, and I love that. But I feel like a lot of people are not there yet. And then, you know, just showing up. is usually what I tell my clients. Like, they feel bad. Oh, I'm late, or I didn't do that homework. Or like, listen, Laura, you showed up, And that's like,
Laura, are you listening? You showed up.
You showed up. You were showing up every morning. We'd have the bulletproof coffee and like she'd show up. But yeah.
So I love your sensibility, like I said, and I'd also love to know more cool tips that people could do at home. Like, so they don't have David Becerra. Mm-hmm. I'm getting better at saying it.
That's good.
Becerra. to come and, mm-hmm. and you know, gently help them train. Mm-hmm. But we have you now in the studio. What are some other tips that you find helpful for people?
One that I hear is like, there's the time one. I don't have enough time. And I feel like fitness and food can be kind of complicated. And I'm like, that doesn't help anybody. We got to try to keep it as simple as humanly possible. Because I feel if it's really simple, it's going to be easier to do. So I'm like, okay, yeah, they got 5 minutes at the house. And they're like, oh my God, 5 minutes. What are you really going to do? And I get that one. What are you going to do in 5 minutes? Come on. And I'm like, well, listen, if I pushed you for 1 minute to do a certain exercise, at 15 seconds, you're going to tell me, are we done yet? You know? So 5 minutes is a lot. So I usually have them do, I want you to sit, stand for five reps, five times basically on a chair, sit and stand, and then go up on the other side of the chair and do like basically wall push-ups. So you're doing, let me just show that. Kind of like, oh, I could do it on a chair.
So if you guys are listening to the recorded broadcast, he's on a chair.
He's just standing. Squeeze the lower body, come down. Do five of those, and then while you're on the chair, you just flip her around.
He's turned the chair around. Oh, he's doing push-ups.
Whatever the range of motion is, if you're really strong, you can go all the way in or not. Or have somebody sit on it, and you can do it even higher, even easier. In and out, five reps, and just keep on repeating. As the clock reaches 5 minutes, you're done.
You're done.
And I just do this every day. And then, you know what? That's getting really easy. Let me do 6 minutes now. And then you start off, we planted the seed. And then after that, it's like the membership happens, the trainer happens.
So yeah. You don't really need, and just an aside, any woman out there who has given birth knows how long 5 minutes can be.
Exactly.
Because if you've had a contraction that's like 30 seconds, that's the longest 30 seconds of your life.
I've heard. I've seen the business of being born.
Five minutes can be a long time.
You guys are strong. Let's put it that way. Very strong.
So, but just something that looks as simple as standing up and sitting down. That's basically working out your thighs and your butt.
And it's 5 minutes. Really, I'm going to do this real quick. Yeah. And you do that maybe five times a week. It's just. Five, easy to remember, 5 minutes, five reps, times. Everything's five, easy to do. I have 15 minutes before I go on, I need to go to the bank or whatever. I can fit this in and it becomes doable and attainable. And don't knock it. Like you're saying, you know, 1 minute of doing any exercise or giving birth is more than a lot of us want to even deal with. So 5 minutes is a good amount if you're just continuously going at it. And it's doable. That's what I like about it.
And it's being consistent.
Yeah, and it helps create that habit because you're like, what's 5 minutes? Who doesn't have 5 minutes? You know, when you look at it that way.
And isn't it better for your body to do, say, a 5 minute workout five times a week than once a week go in for a 90 minute workout?
Yeah, I've had clients, even via diet, it's all connected, you know. Via diet, it's like, oh, I want to lose weight. I have this thing in Cancun I have to go to, and then drop one with a two piece. I'm like, that's all fine and great. It's like, what's that time frame? Like, oh, I have a, it's next week. You're like, okay, well, we'll look less bloated. You know, let's get some realistic goals, you know. But they have a decent amount of time frame. I'll just tell them, listen, you know, I could be really mean and put you on keto right now, and you'll see results. But it's a tool. It's not, is it going to be sustainable 6 months from now?
Right.
I mean, I like fat. It's fine. It works for me, but not, it doesn't work for everybody. And sometimes I crave carbs, so I allow myself that flexibility. Like, instead of just, I look at it as like, I could be really mean and put somebody on like a bench press and a leg squat and do all this in the first time out and do all this stuff, and they'll be sore for a week and then it won't come for a week and they'll be like, maybe that's too hard for me, and then they lose months. Instead of just, let's work on a couple shoulder exercises, do that 5 minute thing that I was talking about on Dr. Nina, and then we'll do some calf stretches and then we'll call it a day. And then like, that's a lot more ahead because now we can get more sessions in because they'll recover, it's easier to attain. So it's like a same thing with the diet. I don't start you off with keto. I start you off with, let's just have a 30-40-40 plate. You know, mm-hmm. a good carbohydrate that's, you know, that's complex, and then a protein and a veggie.
Which,
let's stick to that.
I would call healthy eating, not even a diet.
Yeah, yeah.
As you know, I'm anti-diet, but what you're describing is not a diet. It's a health, a way of making healthy choices and balance.
I don't even talk with my clients about diet. I say, let me see your hand. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, that should be your protein. This is your fat. You can have this much salad or vegetable from the earth.
Oh, this is awesome. Okay, So your palm should be your protein.
This is about like, and it's usually structured to fit your hand. So like for me, like about that thick, about 8 ounces is what that looks like of a protein or a chicken thigh or what have you.
Right.
And then about your thumb, it's about a tablespoon of like a vinaigrette or an olive oil. Okay. Something you pour on your brown rice or whatever. Your carb could be, is usually whatever you can fit in your hand. And then 2 handfuls of either grilled vegetables here, or salad there, or 2 pieces of salad, you can mix and match. But that's sort of like, you look at the plate, and within like 3 minutes, do I have those things, do I have my hand meal? And then you kind of do, boom, 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 done. No need to weigh anything, no need to, it's just kind of an approach to how I eat.
Well, that's very, wait for it, handy. Sorry.
Hey, I set it up, you had to knock it down.
It was just there, I just couldn't help it. But it is, it's really helpful, because a lot of people, they say, well, I don't want to go on a diet, yay, but I don't know what to eat. Like, what do I eat? Mm-hmm. And so that really is a great guide.
Yeah, keep it simple. I say that, and I say, if you can't kill it or grow it, don't eat it all the time. Just leave those for your cheat, or the days that you eat the stuff that's not on the menu.
Like
the
cookie or the cake
or in a bag, man-made stuff. Then you can have that. I mean, because life is a little bit about, you know, a lot of good, a little bad, and finding a way to keep on going.
If you can't kill it, I got to write this down. If you can't
kill
it
or grow it,
or grow it,
put it in your mouth. It's very Jack LaLanne-ish. Jack LaLanne actually used to say, if it tastes good, I spit it out. Which is a little more extreme, but I mean, the guy lived until, I don't even know how.
Like 100 or something.
Pulling boats.
And he was working out until, like, the day before he died, or the day he died, or something like that.
And he had a great attitude the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he had his bad days, but for the most part, he was always on.
He was a kind of a buff centurion, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, okay, so let's keep it coming. What else do you hear a lot that you think that our listeners today might benefit from? What are some other common things? We've covered that. You got 2 minutes. You got 5 minutes.
What I find, too, is that they start, this happens in very intense workouts when I have it, the brain starts negotiating ways to get out of it because it's hard.
Right.
And I'm going to say it's hard. Right? A lot of my trainer friends are like, how dare you? It's hard work to think about a diet now, and then I have to do a very structured routine plan more than once a week. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of commitment. So this is kind of why I got my name on Instagram, is that I look at the whole thing as a lifestyle. This is just the lifestyle I have now. You know, and it's like, and as long as you're batting average, as long as you're showing up to bat in the beginning, that's all I care about. And then eventually your batting average from practice gets better because it's a daily practice. I meal prepped on Sunday and I was going to be really good and I was going to be on point. And then this week, Chipotle is what happened. And which is good, by the way, I'm not knocking Chipotle, but. Sometimes we're really good and sometimes we're not because we are human.
Right. So it's not really about being good or being bad. It's about having balance.
Yeah, and it goes back to that relationship with yourself. You know, everything is the relationships, our diet, our training, our I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to gain weight, or whatever is out there that I'm going to change starts with how I'm feeling about my change inside. Yeah. And am I willing to look at it? So, I mean, not to get too deep into that because people get very, you know, it's personal, but how willing are you to look at the things that, you know, the only opponent that you're ever going to face is really you. I mean, I'm still struggling with him. I look at him every morning. I'm like, listen, save yourself. Love me right now. Because in the end, that's all that really matters. It sounds a little depressing, but it's empowering if you think about it. I get to be a vessel of service, and now I can do more because I sort of, you know, jumped that hurdle. And just little hurdles, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would say, when your brain starts doing that negotiation or starts doing that, like, oh, I'm getting tired or whatever, like, listen. And then that's when one of my hacks are coming. You're like, I'm going to use that 5-minute thing today because, you know what, that's all I'm in the mood for. This kid's crying. Or I need to go do laundry. I haven't done that. I'm just going to do my quick 5 minutes and just get it done. Or it may be that I worked out 4 times today. I'm taking a day off, and that's okay because tomorrow I'll make up for it. So allowing yourself that flexibility and that balance, you know, to come at it with, like, this is not a light switch. It's a journey. You know, we're on a road And let's just enjoy the process. You know, I'm going to take a 5-minute break today, you know, instead of a 5-minute workout.
Any kind of progress is always 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And anyone who's had kids, you know, your kids finally, they take those 2 steps and then they start crawling again. Mm-hmm. And then they take, you know, 4 steps and then they start crawling again.
Yeah.
And then they take 5 steps, they fall down. Like, all progress is progression, regression.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we normalize that, we're not so hard on ourselves. And when we're not so hard on ourselves, we feel better. And when we feel better, we're not going to use things like food to feel better because you already feel better.
Yeah. And then as a therapist, mine used to always say, just like, well, how do you remember that stuff? And he's like, what are the facts? And that like stuck with me. Like, the facts are, like, what are the facts? How many times have you been going to the gym? Oh, I've been going for a month now. You've been going for a month and you didn't used to go at all. That has value. Just keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, and just do it the way you've been doing it. Oh, that's right. I have been doing good. It's sort of empowering to remember the facts that you are sticking to it. It's funny that you bring up the thing with the, what did you mention? The kid. I remember a lot of interviews with Tony Robbins, one of my faves. He'd say, like, you know, we don't, a kid falls like all the time. And it's like, we don't say, well, that's a wrap on walking. I guess you're not going to walk. It's like, we never say that to our kids. And we're like, no, you're going to crawl until you learn to walk. And it's like 90% or probably more percent of the world is, so they're walkers. We all walk unless there's an issue. So, because we just, this is a little micro, like we just kept on trying and we were never perfect.
And I love that because the focus is then on the getting up, not the falling down.
Yeah. Pilots are off course 90% of the time. They have that device that tells them where they're going.
Ooh, I don't want to hear that.
We always get there. We always get there. So, you know,
I'm not a fan of flying.
Oh, you know, maybe then you can have your cocktail. Ease into it.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of not being in control. I need to work. I need to work on that.
That's the problem.
You
know, We all have something.
Yeah.
He who with 3 has sinned, cast the first stone. We're in this together, okay? So it's just a matter of being kinder. So, okay, listen, it's hard. Let's just get at it. Let's see what today feels like, you know?
Yeah, and that idea of what's real, what's true, it's a lot of people are like, well, what if this doesn't work? What if I mess up my diet plan? What if I go on a diet and then I end up going off of it? What if I gain weight? What if?
Yeah.
And I tell people,
I've heard those too.
What is the antidote to what if, which is fear, is what is, which is reality. Stick to the facts.
Yeah.
What is?
Yeah, and honor yourself. Like I'll sit with my clients and be like, okay, so we're talking about food logs, their diet and their menu, because I tackle that at least with what I do, and they'll sit there and be like, okay, so this is the log. This is your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and just see these little blocks. I don't even want you to put amount or what. I want you to put ingredients: a toast, an avo, an egg, and then don't even put amounts. Just write it down. Just get in the habit of writing it down. Leave it in your glove compartment. Bring it into the workout session next week, and then I'll ask you during the session. Like, it says eggs here. How many was that, Lauren? And then I'm like, oh, it was 2. Is it? If you can try to increase it to 3, that'd be great. So I kind of help them refine it along the way. Mm-hmm. But then I say, okay, so what day are you gonna eat like a slob? And they look at me, they're like, excuse me? No, I'm here to lose weight. I have a bikini, or I have a goal, or I have whatever it is that I have to do. This is why I'm here, this is why I'm paying you. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, they want to eat. A lot of them get very gung-ho about it, and that's something that I have to manage too, because they're like, I can't, when you've been eating a certain way, now you're going to eat boiled chicken and celery sticks, which would be great for losing weight. You are used to eating 2x4s and In-N-Out, and it's like, okay, I don't necessarily want you to eat that, but we got to account for your body to having a transition. So when are you going to be able to kind of release the reins a little bit and not having that attachment of like, I messed up. It's an emotional thing, really.
It absolutely is. And that's why I tell people, do not diet. I mean, that's the whole premise of my upcoming book, which is out next month. It's called The Binge Cure,
I'm
7 Steps.
I'm going to come back to you to have an autograph.
Okay, you're on.
To David. Becerra.
Becerra.
There you go.
7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating.
Mm.
And the number one thing is, hey, if you're doing these steps and you're reading this book, you got to give up dieting.
Mm.
Step number one. Mm. Because dieting sets you up. The diet mentality.
Mm. Yeah.
The anticipation of deprivation always makes you want something more.
Call it food style. I'm going to have a food style about myself now.
Food style.
Yeah, what is my food style?
Yeah. So even if it's keto, or paleo. You know, people who eat that way often end up, and people on paleo, don't write me and say you have no cravings, okay? For many people, it's like they start craving bread or something because they're not getting it on their keto.
The body kind of needs a little everything. It needs carbohydrates every once in a while. I mean, it's not an essential nutrient, but sometimes you just need a little sugar, and it might be that that day you just needed it. Doesn't mean that you stay with it. It's just like taking the diet out of the diet word.
Yeah.
And just looking at it, like, oh, today I'm just going to allow myself of a cookie because I've been eating pretty clean, or I'm going out to a bakery with a friend and catching up, and there's nothing but carbs there. So, you know.
Right. So have the damn cookie.
Yeah.
Cupcake. Have it. Exactly. Just have it. And if you have one, you won't have five.
Yeah. Because if you're looking to be a competitive bodybuilder that's about to go up on stage next week, then have the damn cookie. You know what I mean?
Right.
And even then, they do it too. So it's like it's just a matter of strategy.
I have to stop you.
Okay.
Competitive bodybuilders eat cookies too?
Oh, they do. They're probably the worst at it. They have this is Instagram pictures with it's In-N-Out. I go to the In-N-Out and they get the milkshake, and which is, you know, milk and ice cream, you know, with basically cold custard. But at the end of the day, it's calories, it's sugar. So it's just like,
so
they just have a strategy. It's like, well, I most of my life I eat, like what we're talking about, if I can't kill it or grow it style. But every once in a while I have man-made stuff.
Okay, that's balance.
Yeah.
If a competitive bodybuilder can give him or herself permission to go have an In-N-Out milkshake,
bikini
you can too.
Competitors, they all dabble in the cupcakes. I've seen it.
So it's all about balance. Balance in what you eat, balance in how much you exercise. It's all just balance in life, really.
Right. Yeah. That approach really, that's another coin term that people can kind of like, oh, the word balance or keto or, but I feel like it goes back to like, I think the theme here is just honoring yourself and being okay with not being okay all the time. And then that's just part of the process, you know. It's like teething. It hurts. But once it's out, it's out.
I have never actually heard that analogy, but I kind of love it. It is like teething.
You get a set of beautiful teeth afterwards, but it hurts the whole process through.
Growth is pain.
A little pain.
A little while.
Yeah. But this too shall pass. It's just temporary. It's painful, but in 50 minutes, it's not going to matter or whatever it is.
And it doesn't mean anything about you. And I mean, often people will say, oh, I have to lose weight for this, or I have to just lose weight so I'll be whatever. And then they think that when they lose weight or when they get fit, their lives are going to change. They're going to be a different person. People will treat them differently. As someone who helps transform people's bodies, what do you have to say to that?
Well, this is why the whole, like, I even put it on my Instagram, we're going to go deep, because I feel like the answer is there. It's good to have like a temporary goal, like I want to fit in that dress size that I just haven't broken that. But then I kind of like to dig deeper, because I feel like there's got to be a reason, a strong enough reason for why we're doing this. Otherwise, the how will come. You know, reasons come first, answers come second. So it's like, what is the reason as close to needing to breathe why we're doing this right now? Is the dress really that? That's part of it. It's part of it. It's a couple of things, you know. And then you get down, it's like, well, you know what, I was never really strong enough, and I always had to rely on people, and it would be nice to feel like I can handle some of these things with strength. And that's the one common denominator for everybody, that helps everybody. Just developing strength helps a lot in all areas, emotional, physical, spiritual. So like, I try to have them, like, you don't have to tell me, but you have to tell yourself, what's the real reason I want to be able to run around with my grandkids and not have a heart attack? You know, that's a very altruistic and in service goal, and that's going to get you to wake up at 5 a.m. if that's what it takes for you, because you have to go to work, whatever, or I have to get up for those extra 30 minutes and I'll do the five minute sequences of that chair thing or whatever you're going to do. But the idea is to show up for yourself, be kind to yourself, and realize that it's a process. You know what I mean?
That is a beautiful way to end our show today. I love your attitude, and you're really a trainer with heart. Tell us how people can find you.
So right now you can reach me on Lifestyle by David at Instagram. And just feel free to DM me, message me. You can also call me. I have my number there.
Yeah, you have your...
Yeah, 626-644-2737. I'm usually pretty good at returning calls or my Instagram. Follow me there. I try to be of service and put a lot of inspirational stuff out there with the training.
Have YouTube as well?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me that. I have a YouTube channel that I just started. And I have actually a keto sandwich up there. So it's on the link on my Instagram. So it's Lifestyle by David. And the link's on there. And everything else I'm involved with and all the causes that get my heart pumping and working out. So,
which are, I encourage you guys to check him out. He really is practicing what he is preaching. So
thank you.
Yes. Thank you, David. Thank you so much for being here today. And that is our show for today. Thank you for joining me. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you can listen to the show live, that is awesome. If you can't, you can listen to it later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get podcasts. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.